From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, on this terrific Tuesday, 23rd day of March. We're enjoying our wonderful spring-like weather, right, as we see it's a little cool this morning. Going to warm up, though, up to about 57 degrees today with that sun peeking out. I'm looking forward to that, and I know Josh is too. Josh, welcome to the show this morning. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. You know, today is 3 years ago, was a significant day in my life. 3 years ago, my little grand treasure, granddaughter Collins, was born 3 years ago today, and she is the cutest. Of course, every grandparent says this, and every parent says this, but she really is just a doll, and I want to say happy birthday to you, Collins, your third birthday, and I sure enjoyed my conversation via FaceTime, and technology really helps when they're in South Dakota and I'm here, and I hope you have a super-duper wonderful day, and if it's your birthday today, friends, I want to wish you a very happy birthday as well. And certainly, we have a lot of news to talk about. There's so much going on, Josh, nationally. My head's spinning. All the stuff going down on at the border, all the misinformation and disinformation that's going on from our national leaders on that now several senators are saying, look, we're going to go take a look ourselves. And I thought it was interesting that Vice President Kamala Harris was asked, are you going to go down to the border and see what's going on for yourself? And she just laughed. She just scoffed like, why would I do that? You know, kind of thing. And I just thought, man, where is the leadership? And we do have a crisis going on. Not only have we been having a constitutional crisis, but we're having a major crisis. And as this is happening, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's really simple. You shut down the world for half a year. You basically create a huge surge in the third world, which is what's happening. They've shut down all of their industries. You know, we're affected in the sense that we don't, you know, have as much surplus and business and GDP and different things. And we're affected in that sense, which we do have a large growing population of homelessness and things that are kind of privy to that. But in the third world, you got to remember those industries are basically dead, and so these people they've just been starved out, and it's a bigger plan. There's things that are going on. They're being used as political weapons to bring a huge surge to the United States and basically dismantle our voting system and our integrity in every way. And it's really sad on both ends that they're simply just being used as a political weapon.
Well, and I even heard someone say kind of a being used as a biochemical warfare, because in a sense they all don't have, they have COVID. A lot of them have COVID. They're not being tested. We can't leave the state or go into a country or come back from a country without being tested. And yet the illegal folks aren't getting tested.
Not only that, there was an article yesterday that I saw that there some of them are getting their vaccines and people are upset. Citizens are not getting their vaccines, you know, and I don't even want to get into it, but the vaccine, it's not a vaccine, folks. I'm not a doctor, but I wouldn't get it to save my life. So,
well, and I do think that there's a lot of hype around all of that, and that is a master plan as well. And so we're talking at the national level, all this stuff going on, and it's hard to keep our hands around it. And I'm very thankful. I will say this again, friends, if you have not signed up for the Daily Journal with Chris Ann Hall and JC Hall, they do a very good way. They just kind of go through some of the national issues and some of the state issues that are going on through their constitutional eyes. They do it in a nonpartisan way. They are very liberty-minded, and they do it in a way that allows us to have the talking points and know how we need to be active. So the Daily Journal, chrisannhall.com, you need to go there. Now, let's go a little closer to home here, Josh. Let's narrow it in to what's going on here at the state capitol. It's absolutely chaotic here in a sense, even though the Capitol is closed down. In fact, they had a scare. Someone tested positive for COVID that was on the floor.
Ooh.
And so now they're not holding any session on the House side for over a week.
Of course
they're
going
to do committee things from their computers and things, but they're not allowed to. So crazy.
Well, okay, well, let me just mention one thing to think about. That is because there's so much momentum on our side on pushing against those people. They use the scare to stifle that momentum to where when things roll out and they want to come take away our freedoms and take away our rights next week or whenever they roll all that out, the momentum and the trend will not be there. And that's the whole point of all this. They're literally holding everything hostage. It's just unbelievable to me.
Well, and this is something that's so incredible. When we elect our leaders, our Republican leaders, into the House and into the Senate, we want them to represent our voice, and we understand the tremendous one-sidedness. In fact, there's a stronghold of Democrats, and so it's very difficult to even oppose any of the legislation that's going on. And with that, I want to bring into the conversation Brianna. Brianna, hello, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Brianna, you have a background in policy. You have been involved with government affairs, strategy in Oregon politics. You've ran for county commissioner, and now you're helping to report for an independent media news outlet, which we like to highlight, Northwest Observer. Welcome to the conversation this morning. And the reason why I wanted to bring you in, and we're talking about this, is we need to talk about this open letter to the leaders there in the House leaders and the Senate leaders at the State House. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Stacey Ann, and Josh. It's always a good morning when I can have my coffee with you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and we have a lot to talk about this morning. You know, this open letter that has been brought out, and people, listeners and citizens need to send this forward to their elected leaders. Talk to us a little bit about where we're at with this and why it's so important.
So Oregon is at the 11th hour, 59th minute, and 59th second. We are literally on the verge of complete collapse. And I don't think people understand, recognize, or realize just how close this country, or excuse me, this state is to utter failure. And literally the last bargaining chip we have and the last thing standing in the way is literally two senators. That is all that it takes. That is all we have standing between us and an avalanche of horrific policies that would create an insolvent state, a dictator, complete totalitarian form of government, and so much more. And so we have 12 Republican senators. We need every single one of them to not only agree to, but be determined to walk out and stay out until an agenda can be agreed to that makes sense for all Oregonians. And so I'll tell you, the last 5 years has felt like watching the Super Bowl between two team players. And, you know, one team has no rules that apply to them, and the referees continue to ignore the rules when it comes to this team. And the other team has all the rules thrown at them, the book is thrown at them, and the referees make a call on every single thing that they do. And we're now coming to the end of the game, and the question really in all of our minds is, will we make it?
When you talk about the mm-hmm. senators, that it's really down to two senators. Are these the two senators are saying, no, don't really want to walk out? I can't justify it. Is that what you're saying?
So actually what that means is we need all of our Republican senators to stay out, because it only takes two Republicans to make a quorum. Mm. And so once that quorum requirement is met, then they can just go ahead and pass through all the legislation that they want.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so because there's so many bills that have been introduced, really just flown through because of the supermajority. Let's just kind of paint the picture where we're at. We're a little familiar with this. If our listeners remember the last couple of years, there's been effective walkouts and shutting things down. There's some dangerous precedents being set right now if we do not do this walkout, right? Let's just talk about our gun, our Second Amendment rights. Now they're making a resolution about every person is entitled to health care. Now, well, we won't debate that everybody should have access to health care. Who's going to pay for health care? I mean, there's just lots and lots of things going on, right? Talk to us through some of those issues that are direct threats that maybe our listeners aren't familiar with.
So as far as the health care bill goes, Stacey, this is a bill that the Democrats have wanted to pass for the last 10 years. The voters have voted it down. They have been held up on the policy side. Legislative analysts that are available to our elected officials have said no because there's just no budget for it. Really, when it comes down to it, there's no budget for this. They have no idea how they're going to do this, and yet they're going to cram it through and decide later how it's going to happen. It reminds me of Measure 110. And so Oregon voters were asked to decriminalize drugs in order to fund, quote unquote, fund addiction services and have that be provided. Well, we went ahead and we passed it and we created a new constitutional provision that decriminalized illicit drugs, heroin, cocaine, methamphetamines, you have it. And the governor then turned around and said, well, I'm sorry, but I just can't fund this right now. So this is the type of situation that we are seeing down the line. So, you know, I think unfortunately there are not enough people paying attention to what happens after bills get passed. So they think it's a great idea on the front end. It sounds like a great idea. And in action, right, so which is what happens after the bill passes and then how it takes effect and how it affects people on a day-to-day basis, it could not be more diametrically opposed to either the title of the bill or the intention of the bill. Mm. And then, you know, people feel duped and frustrated, and somehow they always end up blaming the Republicans. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy because we know that that's not exactly what's happening. We can't even have a serious committee hearing right now on any of these issues and right. be heard or bring our testimony and our perspective on it because it's all controlled. It's pre-scripted. It's like a play, and they just go through the motions.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And it's even worse than that. So the supermajority is called the supermajority because they have way more people than we do, and they toe the party line or they're kicked out, like we just watched with Diego Hernandez, Representative Diego Hernandez. That situation was about so much more than sexual harassment, and he didn't toe the party line. He went against Tina Kotek on a particular bill. I won't get into the details, but then he was very quickly painted within the complicit media and within his party as a sexual predator, and that was therefore the reason why they needed to vote him out.
Well,
and
we're,
here we are again, setting precedent that if you don't toe the party line, you're out.
When we get back from this break, Brianna, I want us to talk a little bit more about this open letter and the details of it, and then give us some action points of what we need to do today to ensure that these officials do stand up and walk out. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, together with you this morning. Thank you for tuning in. I want to share with you, friends, there's quite a few events going on right now. Of course, the 40 Days for Life continuing on outside of Planned Parenthood as we pray that abortion will end. Right. And of course, under this new administration, it has been every protection for the unborn. that was put in place by President Trump basically has been undone by the Biden administration in such a short order. And of course, now I even understand in this latest stimulus package, abortions were funded in it. And it's troubling and it's sad. And it really is a heart condition. And we all need to do our part to uphold the pregnancy centers that are working on the front lines each and every day and do our part. And part of that is also being alerted and aware of what's going on with our Constitution. If you don't have a copy of your Constitution, I believe, Josh, a copy of the Constitution and the Bible, those are two important documents to have and understand. There is a new class starting on the 24th, which is tomorrow night, at the River Church, Liberty First University, through Chris Ann Hall, starts tomorrow night. Now, normally there's a fee associated with this, but because the River Church is hosting it, you can attend this class through the River Church. And of course, there's still classes going on through patriotacademy.com, biblical citizenship class going on at People's Church on Sundays at 11:30 a.m. Lots of community activities starting to pop up. In fact, the YMCA is going to have an Easter presentation. I think it's virtual on Good Friday. And so if you have something coming up, we want to hear from you. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. We're continuing the conversation this morning. We've got Josh in the studio. And Josh, I have to say, it's a little overwhelming, and it's kind of, I'm not one to get into fear, but it feels like we're pressed in on every side. And you and I have been talking about this for about a year. I think your first time in with me was maybe like last May, June-ish, and we've mm-hmm. been talking the things that are to come, right? And
it's happening.
What do we do about it?
Well, you know, what do we do? That's a million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. How do we navigate it? I really think that it really comes down to the masks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first they isolate you, then they muzzle you, then they silence you, then they discredit you, then they demonetize you, then they basically quarantine you, mm-hmm. Whether it be forced or not, then they do forced vaccinations. I have a prediction I'm going to say right now, and this has been on my mind a lot, and this has really been bothering me. I have a prediction right now, forced vaccinations for students, by the time the fall semester comes in, it will be a requirement for public schools for kids to be vaccinated in order to go back to school.
Whoa.
I think that's what's coming.
And you're not talking about, are you talking about the COVID vaccine? Or are you talking about just in general?
Well, it's not a vaccine. We shouldn't call it a vaccine. We should call it the COVID mRNA shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I do think that they're going to, I think they're going to make a huge push for that. They're already talking about new strains and new variants and different things. They're trying to shut different things down. The good news is, and I'll tell you.
Give us some good news, please.
The good news is that people are starting to, in droves, reject all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with the sun coming out now, it's like,
yeah.
Why? It's so odd to me. Still, it's so odd to me to see people walking around with masks. It's abnormal. It's not. The research is out there. It's not protecting anybody or anything. It spreads more bacteria. Most people aren't even using the right masks. I mean, it's been talked about 100,000 times,
mm-hmm.
but it's still going on. And now Oregon's talking about making it permanent.
Yeah, and that's another part of the legislation and OHA things. Brianna, I've got you on the line still, too. Things coming down the pike, whether they be through our elected officials or through bureaucrats making policy. And we, the people, have been locked out of this whole process. Talk to me a little bit about this wonderful letter. I love this letter. It's 3 pages, so I'm not going to read it verbatim. But I do want to say, when you talk about people getting organized, let me say who signed this letter. And then, Bree, I'm going to pitch it to you. Oregon Grassroots United, Russian Old Believer Community, Libertarian Party of Oregon PAC, Columbia County Republicans, Oregon Liberty Coalition, Free Oregon, Oregons for Medical Freedom, Representative Jeff Croft, Oregon Department of Education Fight Club, People's Rights Oregon, Oregon Citizen Lobby, Parents' Rights and Education PAC, Oregon Firearms Federation, Rob Taylor, Chair of the Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment, Mae Hudson, Jefferson County Commissioner, Chairman Woolman, William Harvey Baker, County Commissioner. Mary Sterrett, Chair, Yamhill County Board of Commissioners. Robert Bob Main, Chairman, Coos County Commissioner. And I think you can certainly add Stacey Ann on there and Josh on there. And Brianna, there's great momentum for this letter. Talk to us a little bit about this and who do we need to target right now?
So right now, I would say that the biggest holdout would be Senate Minority Leader Fred Girard. I know that he and his wife are both very afraid of retribution, and I would not say target. I would say encourage and support. I'll give you just a very small example of the retribution individuals have been facing in this state. Last year, when Republicans walked out, Herman Bershiger was the Senate minority leader at the time. He was offered about $22 million in pork for his district. He turned the governor down. And he said, with all due respect, ma'am, we are going to hold out on these issues. And she said, revenge is a dish best served cold. This last summer, Fred Girard and his wife lost their home in the fires. And there have been multiple, and I'm not saying that that was, you know, one thing due to another, but I do have definitive proof of the governor's office sitting back and not immediately jumping on federal aid and holding some appropriations hostage until negotiations were made. And, you know, there have been various forms of retribution that have come against individuals in this state who have stood up to the power of the state.
And that's so because that's because she's a criminal.
Well, and we need to get into that a little deeper here when we come back from this break. Brianna, stay on the line with us. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this terrific Tuesday. We're continuing the conversation.
Talking about some bills that are being pushed through. Talking about just the, I would say, criminal activity going on in this legislative here in Oregon. They're stealing our rights. They're trying to ram a bunch of nonsense through, take away our gun rights, permanent mask mandate, permanent legislation. You know, it's crazy what's going on here. And we're talking with Brianna, and she's got a coalition together and a letter we're sending to. We need the Republican party, basically, of Oregon to walk out and not let them push this stuff through, because the ramifications of it will just be a permanent dictatorship here in Oregon.
One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, Bree, is the state-sanctioned media. What can you tell us about that?
Thank you. I would argue that this is so much bigger and so much more devastating than gun regulations. State sanctions, and through a background example really quickly, as a journalist, my credentials were yanked from the Capitol this session, and I was denied the ability to work and do my job because of my party affiliation and my political leanings. And it's interesting because as journalist goes, I'm probably one of the more fair and unbiased individuals and very independent and neutral in the way that I report just the facts. And even that was denied. So this bill is very dangerous. I'm not sure how anybody can pursue a bill like this with a straight face, stating that it is in any which way, shape, or form to help promote democracy. But here we are. And so this is a matter of punishing independent media sources that have, again, that have not towed the line or have actually spoken out or have told the truth or have even reported on policy fairly and accurately.
But isn't this a natural progression of tyrants? It's exactly for us not to expect this to happen is ignorant on our part. Of course, they mandate the lockdowns, they mandate the vaccine, they mandate the masks, they mandate all this stuff. The natural progression is to take away your ability to speak, to take away your ability to defend yourself, and basically get you locked in your homes. And that's exactly where they're going, and that's exactly what this legislation is trying to do. And push all this nonsense through. It's not about your freedoms. It's not about your liberties. It's not about anything but ultimate control and sealing your fate in the future of this state of how we're able to operate and how we're able to function. That is the key to all of this. And if anybody's listening or just joining us, we got Brianna on the line, and we're talking about a letter that we need to send to all the Republicans for the state of Oregon to walk out on all this legislation that's they're trying to push through. It's absolutely completely infringe on everything that we stand for here in Oregon.
Well, when we talk about retribution and you're talking about the fear that these senators are facing because they're worried, there's this fear. One of the rumors that's been going around is that Senator Girard might be recalled, and that there's an effort to be recalled, and that there's some disgruntled Republicans accusing even someone else of starting this, and it isn't truthful. It's not truthful at all. And so I'm not sure what's going on, but there's from every side, it's probably started by a Democrat, the rumor.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And here's what I have to say about that. If you're scared of flying, you don't become a pilot. If you're scared of fire, you don't become a fireman. If you're scared of blood, you don't become a doctor.
Mm.
And you don't, become a phlebotomist. If you want to be a senator in the state of Oregon, if you want to be a politician, there are things that are going to happen, and there are ramifications from either side that are going to happen, and you have to, that's your job. Your job is to represent the people and represent what's going on in this state and defend the people that voted you. That's your job. In return, yes, you're going to have some flack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in the heart of the lion's den here on the West Coast in one of the worst, most corrupt states besides New York and California and maybe Washington, you know, Colorado possibly. Your job is to represent us, is to put their feet to the fire, is to walk out when necessary if that's your only recourse. That's your job.
Right.
And so you can't complain or cry wolf or be like, oh, well, I'm scared this might happen. You signed up for this. And so you need to see it through. And I think that's important for all the acting representatives.
And you took an oath that you would protect the Oregon Constitution. You took an oath that you'd protect the U.S. Constitution. And despite the lack of protection on the Democrat side, you took those oaths. Your people behind you that elected you, you are accountable to them. And I do think it's important that we remind our elected officials and do our part. Go ahead, Bree.
Well, thank you. And so I would say that I believe that Fred is trying to carefully weigh the repercussions financially to his district, which I certainly appreciate as I am in his district. The governor has a history of tying up funds in appropriation. So, you know, our district is one of the largest and has one of the least amount of funds, although we're one of the highest earners and taxpayers in the state. So if you can take a step back and pan out and take a look at that and realize that there's absolutely a reason for that, which is because we're vastly Republican. So we don't get the money back that we end up paying out. And that is kind of where we're at right now, unfortunately, with the way things are happening. But I also wanted to add that this is not a partisan issue. We have many, many Democrats in Salem that want the Republicans to walk out. They are so adamantly opposed to the current agenda, some more so even than a few of the Republicans in the caucus, you know, but they cannot step out of line. Mm-hmm. They cannot go against the party. So Tina Kotek and Peter Courtney are the House and the Senate leaders, and they set the committee hearings. They set, you know, who chairs which committee and who has what kind of power, voice, and say-so. And when they don't like an individual or how they have voted, they will yank that person off their committee assignment. I have never seen so many arms broken and kneecaps busted in my life as I have in the last few years watching the way these people have operated. It is absolutely criminal, but guess what? There is absolutely no justice or judicial accountability. We have nothing to hold these people accountable.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question on that then.
Can I just finish one point is that we have a proverbial exodus from the bench right now. We have judges of 30, 40, 50 years fleeing and getting out of the state. I just wanted to bring that up. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so you're saying that these people are criminal. You can't compromise. We don't negotiate with terrorists. You don't negotiate with criminals. And so why on earth would any of these Republicans be concerned about what the ramifications might be? And I understand the playing politics, but you can't play politics with criminals. You can't argue against them. They have one interest, and that is to destroy everything that you stand for and everything that you represent. So if that's your opposition, you know, it's kind of like if you get a fight with a lion. You know, you can't compromise and like play politics with him. If you don't defend yourself, he's going to eat you. And so, I mean, really, that's what it is. And so to try to get in the mindset of these people, they've demonstrated what they care about, and that's destruction, destruction and control. That's all they care about. They don't care about, you know, what ramifications they have. They're not concerned about being voted back in because they'll probably be voted back in through fraud anyway. They don't care about that. So how is it, and this is kind of the big thing in the whole Republican conservative movement and everything else, is how do you combat against somebody that does not care about anything? They have nothing to lose when we are cherishing and trying to cherish, you know, our freedoms and our families and, you know, the nucleus and our conservative value systems. And it's being infiltrated in all aspects by something that does not care. There is nothing you can take from them because they're destructive. They're already miserable. They probably don't have happy lives. They don't like anything, which is why they're sociopaths and pursue so much power. You know, so how do we go from there and negotiate with somebody like that? You really can't. And that's the thing. And that's why it's important, I think, for these people to really make a stand, despite what the ramifications are. Because if we don't do it, like you said earlier, like if we don't do it right now, it's the end of the state.
There's no redeeming it. It's a pure dictatorship.
Yep. And they are going for broke. They're overwhelming all the news cycles. Everything's being overwhelmed. We're all being overwhelmed at work with the industry costs and just all the different things going on. Most of us aren't even paying attention to what's going on right now, which is why they're pushing all this stuff through. And we don't have any repercussions. We can't go to the Capitol. We can't talk anymore because we're all wearing a face diaper. You know, and you can't go into the store and nobody really wants to hear it. Everybody's getting hardened and in their positions to where that calm together moment's not happening. But the most important thing, I think, is the Republicans walking out and the Democrats. I think there should be some Democrats that take a stand.
Come on,
you know,
Democrats.
If they're really concerned about it, how do you know that they're concerned about it? And how do you know that they're just not telling you that they're concerned? But what are their actions? Mm-hmm. What's that one thing we learned when we were kids? Actions speak louder than words. So I don't want to hear it. I want to see it.
Let's do this.
I don't want to hear about, oh, yeah, well, we would support this, but we would support this, but we would do this, but, well, there is no but. Either do it or don't. Mm-hmm. And if you can't handle the pressure of being in that position, maybe you should go, you know, work at Safeway or something else. You know, I that's just my opinion. I don't have any respect for politicians that are scared of what ramifications come, because if you're representing the people, it's about the people. It's about the self-sacrifice as being a public official of doing those things.
Bree, stay on the line with us. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Tuesday. It's time. We need to call our senators today. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in on this terrific Tuesday, having an intense conversation about what's going on at the State House. And friends, it's intense, but you know, it's the reality that we're facing right now, and we've got some work to do. And I want to just put out there right now, some of you that don't go online, don't have the internet, you do the old-fashioned phone calling. In fact, I don't care if you have internet or not, friends, we need to make this phone call today. Senator Fred Girard, you need to call him. His phone number is 503-986-1709. That's the Capitol phone to his office. And we need to tell them that they need to stand up and walk out as a group of them. And we don't need to move any closer to the line that the Democrats want us to be, which is a state of total chaos. And if you don't think it's chaotic, for the Oregon Green State, this is just a simple illustration. For a state that has been known for years and generations of taking pride in how it looks and its greenways and beltways, when they're cluttered with homeless litter and humanity is living in tents and this very compassionate governor and social justice warrior is allowing people to live in those kinds of substandard conditions, to me, it just shows the proof is in the pudding right there. Just along our interstates and borders.
Well, I think that's what's spreading COVID, is homelessness.
There you go.
And so we need to clean it up, right? And then we can get rid of it.
Yeah, we need to do something. Bree, as we continue the conversation with you, I appreciate what you do and how you've been involved in Oregon and alerting people and getting them activated on what needs to happen at the Capitol. And I can hear it in your voice, too. The urgency of this hour is intense, and it's been building, as we've talked about earlier segments. We it's not like we didn't see this train going down the track, right? And now there's a broken place in the track, and we've got to stop this train from moving ahead. Share with us again the urgency of this, and despite the threat of the other side for repercussions.
Absolutely. So just to give you a small taste of what we'll see if they do not walk out, we will see law-abiding gun owners be turned into felons literally overnight. We will see prostitution legalized. And a little bit more on that, in Germany, for example, because prostitution is legal and it's no longer considered immoral, individuals who are on unemployment should look into sex work as a viable trade option. So are Oregonians willing to look into sex work as a viable trade option or potentially risk losing their unemployment benefits? Mm-hmm. So that's...
Wow.
If they don't walk out, we're looking at the possibility of a state-sanctioned media, not unlike the CCP the Communist Chinese Party.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't walk out, we are looking at private schools being targeted and gone after.
There's legislation.
That's a whole other segment.
We could talk about that for a whole hour, what's going on there. On and on and on. It's not just like one thing on the gun thing. It's the media thing. But it's on every level, even taxation. We haven't talked about the increase in taxes.
I was just going to say, I think if people only understood, I think people are finally starting to see the increase in costs in their food when they go to the grocery store right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize is that we have what's called a food fee that was just passed and is now in effect. And so people are seeing that their milk is now $5 a gallon and their cheese is now $8, a block. That food fee is set to increase another 30%, and that is 30% to the meat producers, the dairy farmers, the poultry farmers, the bakeries. So that might look like a 50% increase to the consumer. Mm. Right now, I was talking to someone who works at AutoZone last night, and he was saying, we're having to restock everything and increase the prices. And I had no idea why. And I said, well, the cat tax just went into effect. That's the corporate activities tax. It is literally what I would like to call a price gouging tax. Mm. So many people supported this, thinking that it was a tax on the wealthiest 1%, not realizing that that cost is actually able to be passed on to the consumer at a higher rate, mind you. So the corporation is responsible for, say, 3.5% of their gross receipts, but the state allowed the corporations to pass on that expense at a rate of 5.7%. So you have companies that are literally making money off of increased taxes, and they love it. They're all in cahoots, and mm-hmm. we're the ones who are paying for it. And I think people need to realize that this is not a left versus right paradigm. We are all in the same boat, and that boat is sinking very quickly.
That's exactly right. And we've got to call our leader, our senator, and call his office and let him know that they need to walk out. Any other action? Is there any other specific phone number or someone else to call that you think would be as strategic?
Call every single one of your senators. Mm-hmm. I would say, rather than focusing on one senator in particular, I think it is good to support and to call upon the Senate Minority Leader, but I would call every single one of your senators, and I would ask them to please stand in solidarity for Oregonians and make sure that the agenda is reset and we are not faced with this slew of horrific bills that will effectively end the state that we know and love.
So that's the action step when we call them, that the agenda is reset, that they walk out and reset, get the agenda reset.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, we need policies that will positively impact Oregonians. We are facing economic devastation. We need our leaders to put together bills that are actually going to benefit Oregonians and stop focusing on social engineering-based policy.
That's exactly right.
Leave us alone and make sure that our tax dollars are used to help those of us who are suffering so badly right now. That's what we're asking.
Is there a spot, Brianna, where people can go online and it's easy for them to get these phone numbers, like a one-stop shop, or is it they just go to the Oregon.gov legislative page? I know some people have struggled with that a little bit. Maybe we could put together a list specifically and put it on our Facebook page where people can go and print them out or call from there. Do you know of something specific?
OLIS is definitely the best page. Another great one, if you want to speak with your senator in particular, is Find My Representative, and that's through Oregon Legislative Information System. That's OLIS.gov.
Okay, excellent. Well, I appreciate your time this morning joining us for this conversation. Please keep us updated on what you find out. We're going to visit, thanks to your help, we're going to visit again with Lindsey Graham tomorrow morning in regards to what's been going on in her life and talk about repercussions for standing strong for liberty. We're going to get an update from her and some of the things that have been going on in her life. Thank you for helping us with that. You have a blessed day, my friend. Stay in touch, okay?
Thank you both so much for having me on. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. You know, Josh, as we continue to look at all of this and our things that are affecting our liberty, we're very fortunate to have this tool of radio to be able to talk about these things. And this will be saved up on the podcast. People can grab the link, alert their friends and family. Let's do something today, right, friend?
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here, Josh. Have a great day.
You too.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. You and I, friends, making a difference right here at home and across the nation, standing strong for our liberty. Remember, God bless you and God bless the United States of America, but it's time for us to bless God. Have a great day. 'Cause there ain't no doubt, I love this land.